Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land under the place of Shechem, under the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord.
Well, thanks again for the opportunity to be here, and I will not take an hour to preach, I promise. All right, because we can all smell the food, and I know that if I preach too long, you're just going to get up and leave and go eat. So, if you have questions, in the bulletin it mentions that we'll do a question and answer session during the afternoon service, and we'd love to just share more of our ministry then, and if you have questions, feel free to write those down so you don't forget. And if you're not going to be here for the afternoon service, you can ask us at the table after the message this morning. You know, our theme has kind of been next steps and God's call on our lives. And I wanted to share from God's Word about some calls of God that we see as we look at Scripture. So let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we will look at a few of these calls. Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts this morning. Thank you for your Word that guides us. Thank you that it teaches us your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the first call that we see in Scripture that I really see is a call that God gives to all mankind. We see this in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that really should be our desire as believers. We talked about this morning as far as going into missions and serving God. Or what is your next step, whether it be simply going to your neighbor and witnessing or going to the mission field? There's a lot of steps in between there that you could take. But God is not willing that any should perish. He wants all men to come to himself. John 6:44 says, No man could come to Christ except the Father draw him. You know, the exciting thing is that we are seeing people all over the world that God is drawing to himself. And then people are being used to share the gospel and accepting Christ as their Savior. And if you are here this morning and you've accepted that call and received Christ as your Savior, then I challenge you to take the call to take that message to a lost and dying world. So that's the call that God gives to all mankind. I want to look at a couple of specific calls this morning. And we see this call of Abram in Genesis chapter 12 that was read to us this morning. I want to ask a simple question before we look at this call and ask the question, why Abram? What was special about Abram that God picked him? And we can see different times throughout Scripture why God picks people. But the question I want to think about this morning is, why did God, of all the other people that were on the earth, why did God pick Abram for this task? Why did God make him a father of many nations? And as we read through here, we're going to answer that question near the end. But in the first verse here, we see God's call to Abram. The first part of this call, and we're going to go through this call very quickly for time's sake, but God told Abram to get thee out of thy country. The country that we're referring to talks about the land of Haran. We also know that Abram in Acts chapter 7 lived in the land of Ur, which is all the way down at the southern part of the Euphrates River. And that area of Ur of the Chaldees was where they grew up. That's where Abram's family was from, his dad Terah and his brothers. And that area had become a very idolatrous nation. And just as we see today's culture infiltrating our families and dads, I mentioned this morning, we have to be so careful that the world doesn't come into our homes. The world was coming into Abram's home and into his family's home. We know that from Joshua 24, verse 2. It says that even Abram's father Terah served other gods. We saw the situation when Jacob was running from Laban, that Laban came and said, "You've taken my household gods." So the idolatry was still in their family. So God said, "Get thee out of thy country," possibly to protect them from what was in that area. That was their home, that was their land, but God said, "It's time to get out." He also said, "Get thee from thy kindred and from thy father's house." You know, there are times where our family can be a source of distraction from us doing what God wants us to do. And we saw that as we came west the first time when we went to Rigby. We had people in our church, they came to me and they said, "Dave, what are you doing? I've heard that you're leaving and going to Idaho. What are you doing that for?" He says, "You're not supposed to go." He said, "You need to stay here in this ministry." He said, you're serving in this local church and all these different things. Don't go." I said, "But God's calling us." He said, "I don't think so." I said, "Well, we're going anyway. And we're glad we did." All right. And we had some family that was kind of discouraging us, just saying, "Are you sure this is what God wants you to do? You have no job, you know, and all this stuff going. You've got a family. Why are you leaving and going?" So sometimes family can be a source of distraction from doing God's will. The third part of the call, I find, is one of the most interesting parts of the call. God tells Abram to go to a land that I will show thee. Now, if we think about that, there's no clear direction and there's no clear destination in this part of the call. Now, young people, let me talk to you for a second. When you surrender to do God's will for your life, you have to be willing to accept that call, because you probably will have no clear direction and no clear destination when you accept God's call. And you have to say, "Lord, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do." That is God's call for you and for really for every believer. But as young people, you have to realize that you will not have a destination or a direction. So what are the two things that it requires if we have no clear direction or no clear destination? I see two things. It requires complete trust in God, and it requires a complete dependence upon God. If you can trust God that He will do what's best for you, and you can depend on God to guide you when He sends you, then you can accept God's call. So we have to completely trust God and completely depend on God. And at this point, Abram did that in his life. Abram wasn't perfect. He certainly made mistakes along the way. But he packed up, they moved from Ur of the Chaldees, ended up going up to the land of Haran. They were there for 5 years. God came back to Abram, and he went down into the land of promise. A couple of different situations there that we can pick out from those two passages in Scripture. Now let's look at the verse number 2 there in chapter 12 of Genesis. We see God's promise to Abram, and there's some really neat things here that we see as far as what God was promising to Abram. He says, "I will make of thee a great nation." Now, Abram was 75 years old at the time of this verse, and he had no children. So how is he going to have a great nation without any children? So the promise of a great nation implied that he would have a son. Second part of the promise, "I will bless thee." Could have been a general blessing that believers get for doing what God tells them to do, but it could be specific also to Abram here, that God would bless him for obeying. The third part of the promise we see in verse 2 is, "I will make thy name great." See, Abram was leaving a sphere of influence that he had in Ur and in Haran. He had accumulated a lot of wealth. He'd accumulated a lot of cattle, a lot of other things, as well as servants. So when you have those things, you end up with a sphere of influence, and often you get into the government of the land. So God said, "I will make your name great." Now, to Abram, maybe he was thinking that same type of thing. We're not sure. But we know that because of this, we have his name here in Scripture, which makes his name great. So God said there would be better promise or better opportunity in the land of promise. The fourth part of the blessing, we see that wherever he would go, he would be a blessing to those people. Are we a blessing to those that we're around? Just a simple question. Are we a blessing to the people that we are around, whether to our coworkers or to our families? But I encourage each of us to think about that, if we are a blessing to those that we are around. The fifth part of the promise that God makes there in verse 3, God will bless them that bless him and curse them that curse him. And just a simple phrase here to think about, that God was on Abram's side. And God is on our side. And if God is on our side, who can be against us? Just a simple thought this morning. The last promise is saved for the end of the verse. And God tells Abram that in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And did you know that you are sitting here this morning at this church because of that promise? That through Abram, Christ came to redeem the lost. And through Christ, he sent out the mission, he sent out the disciples to all nations, and he gives the command to go to all nations. As a result, we are here today worshiping God because of Abram's obedience. Did you know that God didn't need Abram, but he wanted to use him? God doesn't need us. God owns the whole world. But God wants to use you. God wants to use you. So, we see there in verse 4 that Abram departed. He packed up his stuff and he left. Now, let's take a quick survey. In the next couple minutes, the last two verses that were read this morning, verses 7 and 8, let's look at Abram's dependence. And I want to kind of travel the next four chapters and show you what Abram did and kind of wrap this up, Abram's story. Look at verse 7. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, again, the promise, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Why would they build an altar? Would they not build an altar for prayer and for worship, for sacrifice? Abram was showing his dependence upon God by building the altar. The next verse, just one verse down, verse 8. At the end of that verse, there by Ai and in Bethel, and he builded there an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Again, he is showing his dependence upon God. Chapter 13, verse 4. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So he went back to that first altar and showed his dependence upon God. Chapter 13, verse 18. This is after Lot had taken the best of the land, and Abram and his herdmen and Lot's herdsmen were at odds with each other. And Abram said, you choose the best land, I will go where you don't go. And that's when Lot picked the area towards Sodom. But Abram got what was left and wasn't the best of the land. And instead of being angry with God that God allowed that to happen, look what he did in verse 18. Abram removed his tent, and at the end there he builded an altar unto the Lord. He completely trusted in God. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know, we could look at a whole in between there as to why God said that. But if God is your shield, isn't that an encouragement? To know that God is your protector, to know that God is your great reward. This is what God was telling Abram, that he was his shield and a great reward. And then down in verse 6, we see with Abram's response, he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, at the beginning of talking about Abram, I asked the question, why did God pick Abram for that task? And as we have looked at these last several chapters, I think that is why God picked Abram for this task. He had a heart that was set towards God. He worshipped God. He trusted God. He depended upon God. He had a heart that was seeking God. He had a heart that wanted to do right. He had a willing heart to please God. And at this point, he was completely dependent upon his God. Our pastor back in South Carolina often asks this question after he's done preaching a message. He asks the question, he says, does God's word have functional control in your life? When you hear a message or you read God's word in your devotions, does God's word have complete functional control in your life? And that's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. Do we hear God's word just to check it off? Or do we read God's word just to check it off? Or when we read God's word, do we hear it and does it change us? Does God's word have complete functional control in your life? In this situation, it did for Abram. It moved him. It guided him. God's word led him. He completely trusted God. Now, was it easy? I don't know. Look in chapter 17, verse 1. You know, God picked Abram. We see that he worshipped God. But this is 24 years later. Abram is 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. Did Abram already know that? He did. He knew who God was. But maybe he needed a reminder. 24 years had passed since this promise was made to Abram that he would have a great nation. Maybe he was doubting. Maybe he was discouraged. And God said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Just walk before me and be upright. And what did Abram do in verse 3? He fell on his face. He could have done that out of reverence. He could have done that out of worship. Maybe he was completely overwhelmed by it all. You know, and if you do God's will, there are times where you're going to be overwhelmed by what God is doing in your life. When we think about our lives and how God has prepared us for this next step, and then we think about the actual going to Peru, it can be overwhelming. But God was with Abram. And you know, God gave Abram a reminder, and we see this in the next few verses there. God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And what does that mean? Abraham simply means a father of many nations. So every time that he heard his name, he was reminded of God's promise. And we know that the next year he had a son to accomplish that promise. So there we see the call to Abram. And you know, we could look at many, many other calls. And just a couple to mention, we see how God called Moses and God prepared Moses. You know, it took Moses 40 years in Pharaoh's house and then 40 years in the desert to get ready for his ministry. And hopefully none of us have to take 80 years of preparation, all right, to be ready for ministry. We see the call to Elisha, where Elijah came and placed the mantle on him and said, go, and he went. You know, we see the call to other in the New Testament, to the disciples. Just a couple here. We don't have to turn there, but Mark 1:17 was the call to Peter and Andrew. Jesus said four simple words, come ye after me. What was their response? They forsook their nets and followed him. In Mark 1:20, James and John were called. They left their father and went after Christ. Then the call to Levi in Mark chapter 2 was two simple words, follow me. What did Levi do? He arose and followed him. You know, as you think about the call in our own lives and what God wants for us, we talked about this morning, that each of us has a next step. In Sunday school, we looked at Ephesians 2:10, and we saw that God has prepared a pathway for each of us in doing what he wants us to do. But let's look at a couple of passages. Turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Because this is where it kind of gets specific to us and what God wants us to do. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You know, when we do what God wants us to do, there might be persecutions. But, you know, after all this is burned up, the eternal rewards will be worth any persecution we have to go through here on this world. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, another passage that Jesus is speaking to. Jesus said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will lose his life or save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel or the same shall save it. Now we could stop right there. Talking about taking up our cross daily. This morning in Sunday school, we're talking about a living sacrifice. That could be the same parallel there. Taking up our cross every day and following Christ. Because if we save our life, we're going to lose it. But you know, the verse doesn't end there. The passage doesn't end there. If you're there, look at verse 25. This is Luke 9:25. And Christ continues with this thought. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? And then the next part should prick all of our hearts. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, I don't know anybody that wants to get to heaven and not hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But yet we live in a world that attracts us to it and draws us away from doing what we know we're supposed to do. We all know that we're supposed to take the gospel to those around us who are lost and dying. But so difficult to do because we just get distracted by all the things that this world has to offer. So I encourage you and I challenge you as you think about God's call for you. Are you willing to forsake those things that God wants you to forsake? You know, it could be that God wants you to leave your country, your family, your kindred, your father's house, and go to a land that he's going to show you. God wants people to go into missions. God wants people to serve him on the mission field. We need more missionaries in Peru. We need missionaries across the world because people need to hear the gospel. You know, it may be that God is pricking your heart to surrender today to go into missions. Maybe God is pricking your heart to surrender to be a pastor. Maybe God is surrendering your heart to be an evangelist. Or maybe God is just surrendering, encouraging you and pricking your heart to surrender to full-time service, whatever that might be, trusting and depending upon God to guide you. You know, it may be that what God is encouraging you to do and pricking your heart for is to leave your comfort zone and go around the corner to your neighbor and simply tell them the good news of salvation. It could be that you need to serve here in the local church. They need teachers and helpers here in the local church. But whatever God's call is for you, are you willing to take that next step that he has planned for you and answer that call? Father, we thank you that you are still calling people to yourself. Thank you that you have called each of us to yourself and that we have heard the gospel. And if we've received that gospel as your free gift, you've accepted us as your children and we have salvation. Father, help us to take that good news to those around us. Help us to be willing to get out of our comfort zone and share the good news with a neighbor or a friend or a coworker. Or Lord, maybe you're calling somebody to go around the world to the mission field. Work on our hearts today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revelation 1, 5 and 6 says, "Unto him that loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." You're dismissed.